well, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This passage of scripture really describes our world and what we're going through and where we are. Think about it here as we read these scriptures. Verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Does that describe our world? That's exactly what we have going on, what we are facing in the world today. And verse 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." From such turn away. Today, we got tonight coming, but today I'm going to preach to us about power failure in the church. Power failure in the church. A little bit different, but I believe that God wants us to protect from losing the power of His Spirit. That's what we've got to have. We can't make it without the power of the Holy Ghost. We've got to have it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus, I pray that you'd help us here today. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that you'd make a way in us. We give you praise, Lord, for what you're doing in this house. And I pray that you would work in every life and every mind today, every heart. I pray that you would guide us, direct us, and draw us near to you. We give you praise for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated today. The 2005 Atlantic hurricane season featured an unprecedented amount of tropical cyclone activity. It is considered to have been the most active Atlantic hurricane season. Now, most people remember Hurricane Katrina, which caused widespread destruction in Louisiana and Mississippi. But about a month later, there was another hurricane that my family got personally acquainted with. Rita became a tropical depression on September 18, 2005, and strengthened into a tropical storm later that day. Its strength was accelerated by the warm waters of the Gulf of America. Don't you just love Trump? He always keeps you on your toes. You never know what he's going to come up with. The Lake of America now, you know. But anyway, the Gulf of America. All of those warm waters just fueled that hurricane, and it became the most intense hurricane in the Gulf at that time based on barometric pressure. In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, there was an unexpectedly large-scale evacuation of some 3 million people from the Gulf Coast, mostly from the greater Houston area of Texas. That included our family. This overwhelmed the Texas highways and had widespread gridlock and 12 to 36 hour travel times, with people facing shortages of fuel, of water, of food, of restrooms. People would go as far as they could go, waiting in traffic, and when they ran out of gas, they'd just pull their cars off to the side of the road or maybe just in the middle of the road, and that's as far as they could go. It was unreal to go through all of that, but there we were. After an all-night trip to go about 120 miles, we finally made it to my grandparents' house in the Lufkin, Texas area. The storm made landfall that next day near the border of Texas and Louisiana. exactly where we lived. And Rita caused severe damage, some say even as much as Hurricane Katrina, with some places seeing up to 15 feet of storm surge along the coast and flooding that went even 25 miles inland. I have a large picture in my office. If you want to see it sometime, let me know. But it was leaning up against the wall in the second floor of the house, and you can see halfway up on that picture the water line. That's how far the water came up. We were 120 miles from the coast where we went. But little did we know our ordeal was simply beginning. After Rita struck the coast, it moved inland and causing damage throughout all of East Texas. And then the storm was gone. I can remember how still it was. There was no wind, nothing. Temperatures of 100 degrees, but absolutely no wind. And the problem with that was we were all without electricity. You talk about hot. You talk about hot. There was no relief from it. There's very little communication about what was happening because nobody had electricity, and the damage was so widespread we just didn't know when to expect help and what was going to happen. There was no gas, so you couldn't go anywhere. You just had to sit still in 100 degrees with no air conditioning, no electricity, not knowing what had happened to your home and all of that. Finally, after a few days, my wife's aunt, my mother-in-law's sister, her and her husband, they had a generator that ran a window unit and a couple of window units. And so our family and the Williams, we all slept in one bedroom there just to have a little cool air at night, and I was sleeping on the floor, but I was glad to be a little cooler. And that's what we were going through. It was weeks before most of the coast had their power restored, and then the lasting effects on that whole region were devastating. Not long ago, our air condition went out. Had something happen to it. It was late at night, so we had to wait till the next day to get fixed, and I had flashbacks, folks. Oh, my goodness. Some bad memories. It's miserable to be without power. Even if it's just for a few hours. I'm not wanting to go back to pioneer days. I'm thankful for the time we live in. Amen. Thank God for lights. Thank God for electricity. Thank God for AC. A few weeks ago, I was in a church where the power went out. A storm came through, and after a couple of surges, all of a sudden, all the lights went out, and I tell you, the music team was done because everything runs on electricity. They couldn't do no more, and somebody found a flashlight and shined it up at the podium, and the preacher, he did a good job, but it was certainly different. It was different. I'd heard of this happening before, and I'd always wondered, what would I do if it happens here, but that was the first time I'd been in a service where it really did happen. We're talking here today about power failure in the church. Now, have you ever walked into a room and you've gone to flip on the light switch and nothing happens? Now, the lights were still there. The bulbs weren't burnt out. All the wiring was still connected. There's just one problem. There was no power. Paul told Timothy that in the last days, there would be those who had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof. From such, he said, turn away. We're to turn away from them. We're to stay away from people like that. We're to avoid them. Oh, there's a form of godliness. And what Paul is describing here is something that it still has some of the things, some of the form that a church should have. They're still having church services, and they're still singing worship songs, and they're still preaching, and they still have programs going on, and there's church facilities, and maybe nice church facilities. They still act religious. They talk about spiritual things, but Paul warns us that it is possible to keep some of the form but deny the power thereof. God forbid that we would have power failure in the church and not even realize that the spiritual light has gone out. Having a form of godliness, we've got to realize today that just because there's a crowd getting together somewhere, it doesn't mean there's power there. Come on, I had somebody tell me the other day that they ran across a certain church somewhere, maybe close, maybe not. And they ran across a video of their service, and they said the preaching was just, it was so just, there was nothing to it. It was boring, but there was no working of the Spirit of God. But they said they've got a crowd. They've got a crowd. They told me how, oh, I'm so glad I get to come to the experience. And there'd be a flow of the Holy Ghost, and there's power, and you can feel it, and the Spirit of God is moving and working. What a blessing to know that we're plugged in. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. But I don't want to take it for granted and think, well, we've always been plugged in and nothing could change that. No, it's possible that if we don't pay attention, and if we don't treasure this and we don't protect this, that we could get disconnected from the power source. Great marketing is not evidence of power being present. Posting great clips on social media, it really can make things look great. But having a great social media team does not mean the anointing is there. Having exciting programs and events doesn't mean there's spiritual depth. And we need exciting programs and events, okay? Let's do those things, but we can't get the cart before the horse. We've got to have the power of God. We've got to have the anointing. We've got to have a power that breaks the chains of darkness. We've got to have something that is real. Come on, people today, they're looking for a genuine experience, an authentic experience of the power of God. And we cannot let us be disconnected. You remember the story of Samson? There was power failure in Samson's life. He had played around with the world for too long, and finally Delilah had him, and she told him, she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." Samson jumps up and he says, "You know what? I'm going to go out just as other times are before. I'm going to shake myself." In other words, he was saying, "You know what? I'll follow the form and the format of what has always kind of got me by." But the Bible says he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Oh, God help us. How scary is that? He didn't even know it. He didn't even realize it. It took him by surprise. How scary is that? The power was gone and he didn't even know it. And that's the danger, where we learn how to have church and we learn how to go through the motions and we learn how to sing songs that are moving and how to respond at the right time and how to preach to get a response. And we become so familiar with the format of things that we stop depending on the power source. God help us not to just have a form of godliness where we have a form, we have a little bit, we have something that it resembles what we used to have, but somewhere along the way the power got disconnected, and now we're just operating out of tradition, and now we're just doing what we're used to, and now we're just going through the motions and following a format in a service. Oh, come on, there's got to be a desperation inside of us. Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. I've got to have your power. I've got to have a real touch of your Spirit. What are the signs of spiritual power failure? Are there some ways that we can be warned that the power is becoming disconnected? How can we guard against that? Acts 4:31 says that when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. When they prayed, the place was shaken. That doesn't sound just like kind of going through the motions, does it? No, that was some powerful prayer, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. What is our prayer life like today? Is there a shaking going on when we pray? Are we leaving our time of prayer changed? Come on, because if we're plugging into the power of the Holy Ghost, and we cannot resist being changed by it. There's going to be a change. There's going to be something that happens. We're going to leave that place knowing something got a hold of me. How many of you have ever got a hold of a little current of electricity? I guarantee you just weren't like, oh, well, that's nothing. Here, let me have some more of that. No, no, there was something that moved inside of you, and there was an excitement, and there was something that changed. I tell you what, when you come to a power-filled apostolic service where the power of the Holy Ghost is working, there's going to be something move in us. There's going to be something change in us. We're not going to just sit there and just... Oh, how wonderful. No, there's a response. Hallelujah. That's what we need, the power of the Holy Ghost. The early church was not casual about prayer. Prayer was their connection with the power of God. Are we praying more or are we praying less? Are we praying more? Are we praying less? If we're praying less than ever, or less than we used to pray, that's a warning sign. That's a warning sign that something may be affecting our power supply. Oh, come on, folks. We need the power. We've got to stay connected. Another frightening sign that a church may be having spiritual power failure is we can get so good at doing church things that we don't need the presence of God to have church. We prepare the schedule, and the music team practices every note, and the preacher has all his notes organized, and the announcements are ready, and the ministry teams are all ready to go, and we greet people coming in, and Sunday school teachers do their thing, and the service goes according to schedule, and everything happens just like it was planned. But if God's presence doesn't show up, come on, do we just continue on with the service exactly in the same way? Or is there an awareness that, you know what, something's missing here? There's something missing. We've got to have more. We need more than just professionalism. We need more than just organization. We need the presence of God. If the power of God never gets to flowing in a service to where we have to throw the schedule out, we may be missing that connection with the authentic power of the Holy Ghost. There needs to be some times that we say, you know what? We're just going to pause here a little bit because God's wanting to do something and God's wanting to change us. And that's okay because it's His church. It's not my church, it's not your church, but we've got to follow after the Spirit of God. I pray that every ministry team be led by the Holy Ghost. I pray that every time we get up and sing songs of worship, that we flow in the Spirit. Sometimes we might have to change a song. Sometimes we might have to do something different, but I've got to follow after the power. We've got to have the glory of God. I pray that every preacher gets in the Holy Ghost. So when we preach, we're following the leading of the Spirit. And sometimes you find a little groove and you just dig it out because God's doing something and God's working. That's what we've got to have, the power. Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I love getting together with one another. I love the fellowship of the people of God, but I want to have the power of God. I want to have His Spirit. If we're missing His presence, what are we doing here? Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Do we have a hunger for God? If somebody who is healthy doesn't eat for days and days, they're going to know it. I cannot eat for 15 minutes and all of a sudden I know it. I'm like, I need some. When you eat like I eat, you're always hungry. The body will get hungry. It's just a natural thing. Even stuff that they really don't like to eat is going to start looking good. We were talking the other day. My wife said, I don't know if I could just ever eat bugs. And she's like, you know what? If I went long enough, probably I would. Someone who is healthy spiritually will have a desire for more of God. There'll be a hunger there. Oh God, we need more of you. We need more of your spirit. We need more of your word. We need more of your will in our lives. We need more of your love. There will be a hunger. If there's no hunger, if there's no desire, if there's no passion inside of us, maybe somewhere the power cord got unplugged. When we lose the hunger, when we get comfortable, when we're satisfied with what God's done in the past and there's no desire for more, God gave Israel fresh manna every day. The manna was fresh every day. Amen. He didn't give them something that was just designed to keep them forever. If they tried to hold it for longer, it would grow worms. We can't survive spiritually on what God did last year, or what the revival was a year ago, or the sermon that changed us back in youth camp in 1999. No, we need some fresh manna. If we're not spiritually hungry for something more, that's a sign that we could be having spiritual power failure. Another warning sign that there's something wrong is when there's no conviction in our lives. When sin doesn't bother us, that's a problem. Because we're not as sensitive as we once were to spiritual things, and so now it's, well, it's no big deal. It just, you know, it is what it is. And a healthy relationship with God, it means that we'll have conviction at times in our lives. Sometimes you don't need the pastor to give you a list of 100 rules of things we do or don't. Sometimes you need the Spirit of God to say, you know what? There's something about that. Pastor, I haven't even preached about that, but there's something about that. That's not for me. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we realize that we've got a long ways to go to be like him. Amen. But when that conviction starts to fade and things that once used to trouble us, now they don't even faze us. Oh, come on. The things of sin and the way the world talks and the entertainment of the world and compromise and pride and all of that, when that doesn't bother us, that's a warning sign. Hallelujah. After Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they were pricked in their heart. That's conviction. Sometimes we have people who come to this church and they can't make it through a service. Why is that? I've seen them get up in the middle of a church service and they can't get out of here fast enough. That's because they're feeling conviction, or what's inside of them doesn't want to stay along with what's inside of us. And so they've got a decision to make. Am I going to let God change me? Am I going to let God work on me? Or do I want to stay the same? And if they want to stay the same, they have to leave because the conviction is too great. I don't want people just to feel comfortable to come to church and never be changed. But we've got to show them there's a better way. There's a better way. Come on. Oh, we're to come out of this world to be separate. God wants to save people from their sin. Don't stay in your sin, but there's hope you can come out of that. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 tells us, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. For us, that means we're going to be witnesses in Springfield, and in all Green County, and in Christian County, and to all the rest of the world. Ye shall receive power. When a church loses its witness, that can be evidence there's no power. When evangelism is no longer a priority, come on, we need to make sure we get back to the power of God, because we will have power when the Holy Ghost comes upon us. We will have power to be witnesses. As religious movements age, you study them out. As religious movements age, they tend to get inward focused. Well, we got to take care of us. We got to take care of what we want. What music do we want to hear? What programs do we want to have? What can we do to minister to us? And they forget the people that are out in the world that we're supposed to be reaching. If we've lost our burden for the lost, there's something wrong with us spiritually. If we can drive down the streets of this city and we're not moved by so many people who are lost and going to hell, there's something wrong in us as a Christian. Oh, come on. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. If His Spirit is inside of us, we're going to have that same burden. We're going to have that same drive. We're going to have that same passion. Come on, that same desire to bring hope to a world that's living in darkness. I know some people are outgoing and some people are shy, but all of us need to find some way to invite people to church. If we can't do that, or if we refuse to do that, we need to get in a prayer room and we need to pray until we're filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will give us power to be witnesses. A church that is stuck in the past, talking about more about what God did than what He's doing, that's a church that is experiencing power failure. There's nothing wrong, of course, with remembering what God has done. We need to remember what God has done. We should celebrate. We should honor our history, and we do that. But there's a problem when all we have are stories of what God used to do, how He used to move. If all of our stories are set in the past, well, God used to do this, and years ago, you know, I remember way back when, and if we don't have anything in the present tense, let me tell you how God is moving this week. Let me tell you how He is saving, how He is healing, how God is filling people with the Holy Ghost, how He's changing lives. A church without power talks about what God used to do instead of what He's doing. And that should not be. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still moving like He did back then in the New Testament. We've got to be part of His plan today. A church can have a crowd. The event calendar can be full. The music team may be as talented as ever. The pastor's preaching may still be interesting. The power can still be missing. What is it that causes power failure in the church? When that happens, the problem is not with God. God hasn't changed. Isaiah 59 and 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear." He hasn't lost His power. If there's a power failure, the problem's not with the source. God hasn't changed. Come on, the gospel hasn't changed. There's no shortage of power in heaven. If something's wrong with the power in us, we need to look at the connection. Somewhere something came unplugged. Somewhere some switch got turned off. Some kind of breaker blew it. And somewhere along the way, we've got disconnected. And when they prayed, the place was shaken. You watch what happens every time that we see them in the New Testament church. They prayed every time. Immediately after it says they were praying, then something powerful happens. Zechariah 4 and 6 still holds true. "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Praise the Lord. Oh, we're blessed today. The church is blessed. We've got more than any generation ever had before us. We've got better buildings. We've got more technology. We've got greater information. We've got more training. And we should be thankful for all of that. But none of it replaces the power of God. None of it supersedes the anointing of God. We've got to have His presence. Only the Holy Ghost can change hearts. Only the Spirit of God can deliver from drugs and alcohol. Only His wonder-working power can set people free. Read with me in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I." The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. The word of the Lord was rare in those times. Eli had gone to bed, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, before the lamp of God went out, God called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. Eli was suffering from poor eyesight, both physically and spiritually. But God had a plan. And it involved a boy named Samuel. He might have been about 12 years old. But he would have a one-on-one relationship with the mighty God of heaven. When preachers get disconnected from the power source, when singers and musicians have a weak connection, when the saints of God don't have that connection in prayer that they once used to have, there's a danger of power failure. That's what causes it. There's a poor connection. We don't pray. We get disconnected. When other things take the place of our relationship with God, we lose the power. That's why there's power failure in the church. So what do we do? How do we keep the power? Come on, how do we restore it? How do we get it, and how do we keep it? Acts 1 and 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Don't try to tell me you don't need the Holy Ghost. Don't try to tell me you're okay without it. That's where we get the power. That's where we get the power. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you." I will not leave you comfortless. If you look at that deeper, some translations say, "I won't leave you as an orphan. I won't leave you comfortless, bereaved, and helpless. I will come back to you. I will not leave you desolate, without a friend. I will come to you." A few verses later, John 14, 26, Jesus said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, amen, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things into your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." With all that our world is facing, more sin than ever, more darkness than ever, more depression than ever, more fear than ever, more addiction than ever, with all our world is facing, we better not be trying to fix it without the power of the Holy Ghost. I can remember one time working on a remodeling project, and I had this certain tool that was really an answer from heaven, almost, you know. It just did the job, and it really, really cut down on time if I'd have had to do it all by hand. But I remember this certain point that during that job, I went to use the tool, to use it for the job that it was meant to do. But somehow the cord had got disconnected. There was no power. Talk about frustrating. I was in position. I was holding everything, and I was ready. I had to get up. I had to leave everything behind. I had to go find out what was wrong with the power. And somebody had kicked the cord, or I'd pulled it out, or there was no power. I plugged it in, went back, got to work, finished the job. There's nothing more frustrating spiritually than to come up against something that we don't have power to deal with. And because we haven't been praying like we should, and because we're not tapped into the Spirit like we once were, and because we've got disconnected somewhere along the way, we're not able to make whatever it is happen in our flesh. There's no power there. And we can try with all of our will, but there's just nothing. And we can push and push and do our best to force it, but we don't have the ability to get it done. I will just admit today, sadly, there have been times when I didn't pray like I should. Sadly, there were times that I got a little disconnected somewhere, and there was somebody who needed a miracle, and somebody was bound and needed to be set free, and there was a special need, and the power was missing. The well was run dry. There wasn't anything there to get the job done. And I had to go and get back to prayer. And I had to go back and tap in. And I had to go find where that connection problem was. And I had to plug into the source. Come on, I'm preaching to a group of people. God has not called you just to sit on a pew, but God has called you to be a witness in this world, and you're going to meet people that need healing in their body. You're going to meet people that need freedom from depression. You're going to meet people that are bound by drugs and alcohol, and you're going to have to do the work of the Spirit of God, but you can't do it in your flesh. We don't have the power to just make it happen. No, we've got to have the Spirit. We've got to have the power. We've got to be tapped in. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me in closing today? We've got to protect our connection to the power source. We can't let anything cut that cord. Now, I remember. This was either a bad dream or it really happened. So I remember. I think I literally remember this. Sitting in our little apartment. And you know, when you get used to kind of the sounds of a house, you don't realize, but there's always noise going on. You know, there's little things, hums and things running, and all of a sudden, the hums just stopped. And it really was silent. Because something had happened to the electricity. Now, if you've never been there, just, folks, it's not fun. If you didn't pay that bill on time, they're not messing around. They're going to cut it off. So I either remember that or it was a nightmare of it happening. I'm pretty sure it happened. Do you? I don't know. It seems like it happened. It was rough. It was rough, folks. You got to pay the bill. Let me tell you something about the power of God. That kind of power costs something. There's some people that are not going to pay the cost. It's too much for them. The enemy has blinded them, and they think, well, I could never give up that, or I could never do that, or I could never live for God like that. And the enemy blinds them because he's trying to keep them from paying the cost that it takes to have that kind of power. If you look at somebody who is mightily used of God, a great preacher, wonderful pastor, a great musician or singer, they paid a cost for that. They paid a cost for that. There was sacrifice along the way. They committed to God. They spent time in prayer. They said, you know what, I can't allow the things of the world in my life and in my home, but I've got to protect this. I've got to pay the cost. We've got to protect against compromise. The world will always, it's always trying to find a way in. If it can't get in here, it'll go around and try to find there. The world is always trying to come in. We've got to protect against compromise. We've got to protect against being too busy to pray. We've got to protect against distractions that will keep us from the things of God. We've got power costs something. Going back to that hurricane story, I'm going to tell you what, when we finally got power restored, oh, it felt so good. It felt air conditioned. Woo! Let's turn it down to 60, you know? Let's freeze it in here. Oh, man. When you've been without the power, but then it's restored, man, what a blessing. What a blessing. Folks, I want to tell you, people see this church and they come and they experience, oh, this is wonderful. I've never felt this before. They don't understand. There's a cost that goes to this. Where God is taking us and where God is wanting us to go and what he's wanting to do through this church, it cannot happen if we get disconnected from the power source. Folks, it's not time to be playing church. It's not time to just be taking it easy. It's not time to think, well, I'll just coast along. No, it's time to push. It's time to pray. It's time to get connected to the power source. Hallelujah. We're not going to have power failure here. Come on, we're not going to have power failure here. If it's just one or two of us praying, we're going to pray. If it's just one or two of us that are willing to commit, we're going to commit. And I believe God's going to honor that. And I believe there's going to be more that come and say, you know what, I'll pay the price. And I'll do whatever it takes. Amen. I know we have church, all church prayer on Tuesday, but I was up here praying. There was me and one other person last night. I thought, wouldn't it be awesome if just people started coming to the church throughout the week, and especially on Saturday evening? I know we're busy, but what if people had 15, 20, 30 minutes to say, you know what, I'm going to come and spend some time, because there's going to be miracles in that house on Sunday, but somebody's got to pay the price. There's going to be somebody get the gift of the Holy Ghost, but somebody's got to tap in. Amen. And just one or two can tap in and the Lord moves, but what if 20 tapped in? What if 50 tapped in? What if there was 100 people that said, you know what, I'm coming to the church throughout the week, and this is going to be a house of prayer. This is going to be a place where we are plugged into the power of God. Folks, come on. We've got a calling. We have a purpose. We have a plan of God, but we've got to get plugged in. Praise the Lord. Can we gather around this altar today? Do you need the power of God in your life? His power is in this place. His Spirit is moving in this house. Come on, the flowing of His Spirit is here. Would you just kind of just get yourself in the flow right now? Would you kind of plug in? Would you make a commitment to God? Lord, I'll do what it takes because I've got to have the power. I'll do what it takes, Lord, to plug in because I want to see miracles and signs and wonders. I want to be a part of your church, Lord, to experience everything you've got for me. I don't want to get unplugged, Lord.